When we can embrace the calling, you read about that in Ephesians 4, the first few verses, then the gifts that he's given us flow out and bring glory to him. But the problem is with so many, they embrace the gifts, not understanding the calling. And many times when we do that, the gifts can bring glory back to the flesh. So I think in the heart of the word last week, we realized the importance of understanding and surrendering to the calling that God has put in our heart. Well, this morning's word is on being destined for greatness, destiny. And that's probably the same thing. It's again, speaking about our calling. And when I say that, destined for greatness, I think we respond on two different levels. One is there's an immediate witness in our heart because it's true. We all know that we have a unique destiny in Christ. And there's greatness to it because it's the Lord's Spirit moving through us. It brings glory to God. It's His living works. But when you hear that word destiny, I think our ego and human nature also respond. Think of destiny, most people think of some larger-than-life ministry they're to have, great things they're to do for God. And so the ego also gets satisfaction, and that comes from our interpretation of it. We tend to misinterpret, and misapply many times things that God speaks to us because the ego and the human mind get in the way. Destiny is something that people have preached to them, yet I don't know how many understand what it means as being defined by God's Spirit. For many, I think destiny is something in the future. It's this great ministry that's going to happen down the road here. And the problem with putting it off into the future is we don't see the reality of God's destiny working in us day by day. It can be a very abstract thing. Destiny is we're to be sons of God and we're to be perfect in every way. And if we put it off like that, how does it relate in the day-to-day life that we have? Now, in the word this morning, we're going to address this issue of destiny. We're going to speak very little about the gifts in ministry, but more about what that means to us, how it changes our life in the here and now. People will say, well, our destiny is to get it right so Jesus can come back. You know. And of course, if he doesn't come back today, that must mean we're not getting it right. So again, it's something that's always pushed off, something that's unreachable, untouchable. But actually, your destiny in Christ is being worked out in your life every day, much more than you're aware of. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. And we're going to, basically, I'm going to read a few of the scriptures, but stay in this and understanding what our destiny is. And we can start down in verse 14. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Destiny has to do with His Spirit in us. There is no divine destiny or calling that comes forth because of human effort, resources, or religious striving. It's created by God, imparted to us in Jesus Christ, and it can only be unfolded and realized and experienced by the Spirit He's put within us. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. As we're willing to let our life be led by something other than our human reasoning, our own agenda, our human ego, at that point we are embracing our destiny. We're turning the reins of our life over to Him, and destiny begins to take over. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now, when I mention that word sons of God, it may cause a few in here to cringe, depending on your experience in church. Often in the past, that again has been misinterpreted. Sonship, and excuse me for saying it that way, for those that are women here, there's neither male nor female in the Spirit. It's not speaking about men or males. It's speaking about a relationship that we are all to have to the Father. But too often, I think with religion, people have taken that and said, okay, we're to be sons of God. It's become kind of like a religious an elite religious club. People feel they have a little more insight, and they're special, they're separate from all the rest of the church. And that really is not embracing what Paul is speaking of here. Being sons of God is an identity. It's a change of identity for us. It's not some elite little club where our ego is stroked and there's that element of human pride that enters in, that we're special, better than other people. That's all part of the religious nature. In God, recognizing that we are sons, and let's say sons and daughters of God, is recognizing a relationship that God has created with us. Now it says here, those that are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. Could we put it this way? Those that are led by the Spirit realize that they are sons of God, realize the identity and relationship that God has created with them. Hosea 1:10, I can just read this real quick. You don't have to turn there. It'll come about in that place where it is said to them, you are not my people. It will be said to them, you are the sons of the living God. Powerful, powerful scripture. What it's saying is, you are not my people. What is that describing? That's describing how most people feel, even people that believe in God, even people that are Christians. We kind of feel cut off because we're aware of the sin nature. And a lot of the religious spirit has such condemnation with it, with the law, that people, even though they quote the scriptures, really don't necessarily believe that they belong to God. And God is speaking here that it'll be said to you, where you were not my people because of your sins. He was speaking to Israel because of all the things they'd done wrong, their history of disobedience. God is saying, you'll be my people. You are these sons of the living God. A change of relationship. How did that change? That didn't change because the Israel got their act together. That changed because Jesus Christ went to the cross, died for us, paid the price for all our sin. And the statement that came out of his sacrifice was God looked down and said, you who are not my people because of your sin, you're now my people because of what my son has done for you. You are sons and daughters of the living God. What destiny brings us is an awareness of our relationship with him. We are not disenfranchised. We are not separate, trying hard to get our act together, to do it, get it right so that God can accept us. That sense of destiny brings with it an awareness that you belong to God as a son, as a daughter. The price has been paid. There is no separation. There is no need for religious striving. There's no need to be under the law trying to earn it. You can't earn it. You already have it. He looks down and looks at us and says, you are my prized possession. You're my sons. You're my daughters. Isaiah talks about God looking at us and saying, I will be your husband. Talking about the intimacy of a marriage relationship. This is what destiny brings. An awareness of the true relationship we have with God. Now, your daily experience may not confirm that to you. If you're walking around with a lot of guilt and self-condemnation and evaluating what you're doing wrong and saying, this is how God accepts me if I do better or if I'm not doing as good as I think I should be doing, he's kind of backing away from me, doing that old back pedal. That's the way we do with one another. That's not how God relates to us. Because of what Jesus Christ has done, we are one with the Father. Now, remember we started this word, we talked about destined for greatness. And when that is voiced, most people think about what they're going to do, either for God or in God. But really, the primary thrust of destiny is to open our eyes to see the relationship we have with Him. It's about our being, not so much our doing. Now, when we understand our being in Him, the doing is going to naturally flow from that. Galatians chapter 4, we're talking about being led by the Spirit. Well, actually, Galatians 5:18 says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Here's destiny. What is destiny? It's God's Spirit within you. God's Spirit within you, you say yes to it. I want to be led by you. You're saying, I want my destiny to unfold in Christ. And it says, you are not under the law. You are sons of God. So the minute we say yes to that call, the minute we say yes to that destiny, we realize, like we've talked about, that we have a relationship of oneness with the Father. And we realize we're not under the law. Galatians 5:18. Now that is a truth that has not been realized in the church today. And we've talked a lot about this, but I think with the church, grace is preached, at least in most places, but the law is practiced. Grace is preached, but the law is practiced. People are still under that veil of condemnation. God loves you, and yet they walk out the door and think, God loves me, but it's conditional. I've got to do certain things. And a lot of times the church system will reinforce that, unfortunately. God will accept you if you abide by our doctrines, our theories, by our rules. Yet what God says is, here is your destiny, to be led by my Spirit. And as you're led by my Spirit, you are not under the law. You're not under the old covenant. We're under the new covenant of grace and mercy. What a tremendous shift that is. So I think with churches, I think so many people, so many believers will talk about destiny but have not been set free by recognizing the destiny that's in their own heart. When we accept the calling of God in our heart, we realize that we are not condemned, we are not under the law, but we're free to walk by the Spirit. In Galatians 4, Paul talks about being a son. We're talking about sonship again. He says in verse 5 that he might redeem us from the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, saying, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. Let's read verse 15 of Romans 8, and we're going to stay in this chapter the rest of the way. You have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear. Romans 8:15. Your destiny has not given you a spirit of slavery leading to fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Galatians 4, Paul is saying, you're not slaves, you're sons, you're heirs. Here Romans 8 is saying the same thing. What destiny wants to make us aware of is we are not slaves just trying to serve God and get it right. Do we serve God? Yes, but we serve him because of love. And that's the recognition and that's the awareness of a son and a daughter of God. When you're a slave, you do it because you're afraid. You're afraid if you don't do it, you're going to be punished, right? But when destiny has created that awareness that we are sons and daughters of God, we belong to God, we don't serve him because we fear punishment. We serve God because we want to. We're motivated by the love in our hearts. So to be led by our destiny in Christ means we're not going to be led by the spirit of fear, the fear of punishment. We're not going to be led by the law. We're going to recognize that we are sons, we are daughters, and we are heirs of everything that God has put in Christ Jesus. Verse 17, if children, you're heirs, if heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. Again, here's this destiny unfolding. We're children, we're heirs, we're fellow heirs in Christ. You just feel that oneness. Destiny makes you aware of that oneness with Christ. But here's a word we don't want. Suffer with him. Because of the wonderful, beautiful relationship that you have in Christ Jesus, with God, the marriage, the family relationship, the oneness. because you're an heir, you are able and you're privileged to suffer with him. Now, so much of what we go through in life, the suffering is we don't understand. We overanalyze it. We try to give it meaning. We all search for meaning. Why do I go through those things? We talked a lot about this last week. Things that are unfair to us. How much time we spend stressing about it. And the truth is, to be alive is to suffer. Nobody escapes it. But you see how we can view it if we look through that lens of our destiny in Christ. We're suffering with him because we are fellow heirs with him. It's the privilege. We don't have to analyze every little bit of suffering in our life saying, God, if I can't figure out what good is coming out of this, there's got to be something wrong in my relationship with you. Why'd you let this happen? No, you know, God will give meaning to different things we go through, but not everything, right? And sometimes we don't understand why we're suffering, and maybe years down the road it'll make sense. But the point is, we can always have a present joy knowing that we're suffering because of our relationship with him. It's the privilege of being one with Christ. It says if we suffer with him, we'll also be glorified with him. The suffering means we're going to share and manifest his glory. It's a privilege. It's an honor. Does that mean as human beings we enjoy the process of suffering? No. Unless you're a masochist, you don't. If you're a healthy, normal human, suffering hurts. None of us like it. But what does it mean to us that belong to him? For the child of destiny, suffering is the privilege of being one with him, of having that intimate relationship. I think this applies also to a lot of what we go through. And I'm not saying everything that we suffer in life has to do with divine destiny. Sometimes we suffer for our own foolishness. You know, there are times we're going through things and we're suffering and we're blaming ourselves. We're listening to the devil talk to us, that enemy of our soul telling us it's because you're not doing it right and there's something wrong with you. And if you were right with God, you wouldn't be going through this. All these lies, when actually that suffering is because we are right with God. It's because we are being led by the Spirit. And we don't recognize that that suffering is actually a part of our being an heir, fellow heir with Christ. God, give us understanding. Lift us out of the limitation of our human thinking. We have to analyze everything to death. And give us the awareness of when we're going through suffering, which part of that suffering has to do with our identification with him. Now, Paul considered it a privilege. You read in his letters, he talks about how he was persecuted. He wasn't writing complaining to the churches of, look at all I'm going through. Man, can you guys please pray for me? Get me out of this mess? Paul was saying, I'm going through all these things. They're stoning me. They're persecuting me. What an honor. It's because I'm serving Jesus Christ. To him, he was glorying in that. He was proud of the fact that he was chosen to suffer for the Lord. There was a joy that Paul had. It may seem strange, a joy that I don't think we quite understand yet. How can you be joyful if you're in pain? Well, if the pain is due to the fact that God loves you and you're walking with him and you're serving him, there is a joy that's beyond human understanding. It's ours to experience. So, you know, I've looked for loopholes here. I thought, well, maybe there's a loophole around the suffering issue, but again, if you're going to be human, if you're going to be breathing on this planet, you're going to suffer. So let's find that meaning in our destiny. Let's find that joy that belongs to it. We're not going to avoid it no matter what. But I want to taste what Paul had. I don't want to taste what he went through. But that joy that he felt in his heart that he could suffer for Christ. Let's let that revelation eliminate a lot of the lies of the enemy that come to accuse us and make us feel that we're suffering because there's something wrong with us. Those fiery darts of the enemy, they don't belong. Okay, let's continue on. Verse 18, for I consider that the suffering of the present time are not to be worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Destiny gives us perspective. When we're allowing that destiny to unfold, there is suffering of the present time, but there is an awareness of the big picture that doesn't compare to that glory that is to be revealed. So one that has a sense of destiny and one that doesn't, both are going through suffering. The difference is the one that has the awareness of destiny has a perspective of the big picture and sees the purpose the suffering is fulfilling in that big picture. We can see the glory. Verse 20, it talks about, verse 19, the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but because of him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself will also be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Now we're talking about the ministry. We have our destiny. This is quite different here. This is not talking about you just being a teacher, prophet, apostle. It's kind of easy in the church to define a ministry. They'll make it very easy for you. You do this thing, you're serving God. You do that thing, you're fulfilling your mission in life. But here in Romans 8, it's talking about we've been called, our ministry and this destiny is to set all creation free. How do we do that? I haven't a clue, and that's the whole point. We can fulfill ministries in churches with or without God. It can be divine giftings. It can also just be human resources, human abilities. But to fulfill our destiny in setting creation free from the futility, we can't do that in our own strength. What is that all about? It's about His Spirit. All we can do is yield to His Spirit and say, Lord, it's got to be something that You manifest through me by Your Spirit. But that's our destiny. All of creation, we look at creation and we groan. A lot of times our groaning is not because we're so saddened by the state of creation. We groan because of the evil that's out there. But you see, because creation is locked up in that futility, imprisoned, it's a breeding ground for for the evil that we see in the world. The answer is in those that have that destiny in Christ, that are walking as sons and daughters of God, for His Spirit to be released through their lives and set creation free from the prison. When that happens, there'll be no longer an atmosphere for evil to grow. There'll be no atmosphere for hatred to grow. I think just about everything that we see out there that troubles us, let's face it, this world is a very scary place to be. I go out, I've got to watch my daughter at all times now. Now, my other daughter is 22. I don't remember doing that 20 years ago, not to this extent. This world is frightening, but it's in bondage. And instead of fearing the evil or just, you know, trying to hide from it, we're created to be the answer. Whatever ministry you have, whatever way the gifts unfold, the bigger picture is God's Spirit in you is setting creation free from futility. Whether it's a person you're ministering to, whether it's just the world out there at large. And all of this creation is groaning, waiting for what? The people of God to rise up with that freedom. Creation is aware of it. Why can't we be aware of it? Why is it so difficult for us to be aware of our destiny in this earth? And we go on down, it talks about having the... You know what? This is about halfway through, but I'm going to stop here. I think I'll continue on with the rest later. I have a few more things I want to share, but I think it's just so important that we let the destiny of Christ in us give us a new set of eyes. You know, when you look at things, what's there depends on the lens you're looking through, doesn't it? If the lens is one of bitterness or resentment, you're going to see one thing. If it's a lens of humility and love, you're going to see something else. Well, let's describe destiny that way. There's a lens that we look through when we're committed to our destiny in Christ. When we look through that, we see things differently than with our own human eyes and understanding. Just like with ministry, with just human understanding, you say, well, my ministry is to do this function in the church. With the eyes of destiny, you say, my ministry is to help with freeing all creation from the futility, so Jesus Christ can be Lord over all the earth, his kingdom come, his will be done. Now, you may still be doing that function in the church. It's not to say that function was not what God wanted you to do, but your awareness is different. That's what destiny brings. Jesus had this. I wanted to say it this way. You get the big picture with destiny. When Jesus walked those 3.5 years, the people tried to make him a king. Remember John chapter 6? Here's this person, the ultimate hero, the ultimate healer, the ultimate teacher. Everybody was waiting for someone to come on the scene and set him free from the oppression. At that time, the political oppression of the Romans, the religious oppression from the Pharisees, the religious order. Yet Jesus had that sense of destiny. He knew he did not come to be the next big hero or the biggest hero the world had ever known. He came to die for us. And so he kept looking at those 3.5 years through the lens of his destiny. So in John 6, when he's feeding the multitudes and he's working miracles, and thousands are coming, crowding around him, wanting him to be king. Now you've got to remember that Jesus was human. Wouldn't that appeal to the human flesh? What would we do today? What do we do today? People crowd around and all of a sudden we want to, you know, build some big thing. Let's get a mega church. 10,000 members. Let's see how big we can make it. Jesus spoke words that drove them all away. I marvel at that. Here's all these people saying, you're the answer. He looked, he said, you know, I am the answer, but just not in the way that you think. He was aware of his destiny. God did not call him to come to the earth and be the next king and have a great following. God called him to lay down his life to save all of us. They were looking for a savior, but their interpretation of what it meant to save them was different than God's. So the Lord had the big picture. And that's why in John 6, he looked at all these people and he said, you got to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood or you have no part of me. He knew that they wouldn't get it. He knew that those words were offensive to them. Drove them away. Because he could not be pulled away from God's destiny within his life. God wants us to have this big picture. So that as we're walking through life, that we're not led astray by human pride, other people's opinions, what other people want from us. There's so many things pulling on us. When we have that sense of destiny, we stay true to what God wants. We continue to be led by the Spirit. One last thing I want to express is destiny unfolds through all of us in just different ways. We're all so unique. Different giftings, different ministries. But there's one commonality with all of us. There is always going to be an expression of his faith. You read the book Hebrews 11, I think that's a good chapter describing destiny. Talking about these men and women of God who served God and how the faith they had, the faith they expressed was pleasing to God. I would think that would be quite an honor to be listed in Hebrews 11, wouldn't you? Those are our heroes of faith. They were people of destiny. Look at that a minute. We take someone like Abraham. There we're talking about a lifetime of faith it describes. God's faith in his life that expressed that divine destiny. Then we read on down, we come to someone named Rahab the harlot. A moment in time, she expressed God's faith to the spies. It doesn't say anything more about her life, how she lived it. I would be a little bit embarrassed. A brother was talking to me about this, and I thought it was funny, but you think about it. Everybody would like their name written in Hebrews 11, but I don't think I'd want that job description next to it. Rahab the harlot. You know, the Bible certainly isn't condoning prostitution, but what it's saying is destiny is all about his faith being expressed. And whether we're talking about, like Abraham, our lifetime living that faith, or people that, like Rahab, just a moment in time, she expressed that faith, and it's written of her. It's a memorial forever. It's eternal. So as destiny unfolds from the body of Christ, that light will come forth in many different colors, in many different ways. But what will be common through all God's people will be his faith will be expressed. And that will be eternal. Let's stand. And if I can, I'd like to maybe finish this up next week. Yes.
I'd like to ask you, how does God suffer? I mean, we know how Christ suffered, but it's the Father that's suffering. The Father is suffering because we're separated from him, and he doesn't want that. He doesn't want that so much that he sent his Son so that we could come back to him, because he sent a man with a law, and nobody could live up to the law. All it did was show us that how bad we really were. It at least gave us an awareness that we were separated from him. And then he sent his Son. His Son died for us so that he could be one with us, and we could be one with him in our awareness. That's why he's suffering. And that's why our destiny is to set creation free, because